Welcome to The Good, The Bad, and The Science, the show that breaks down the science of television and movies with a comedian and a scientist. Today, we're discussing Happy Feet, so I'll ask about tap dancing penguins, singing penguins, and Spanish-speaking penguins. But first, a short word from our sponsor.
Is it time to change your approach and switch to Air Supra, albuterol budesonide? Now you can virtually connect with a doctor to discuss your options and see if it's time to make a change. If appropriate, you may even be able to get a prescription for Air Supra the same day. Talk to a doctor today and see if Air Supra is right for you. Visit AirSupraConnect.com to connect with a provider.
Stop punishing yourself with bland, chalky protein shakes and fuel your fitness with the best protein in the game at GNC. We've got the hottest brands and flavors that legit taste like cookies, your favorite cereal, indulgent desserts, and more. It's on at GNC. The good.
Hi, everyone. I'm your host, Ethan Edinburgh, and I've got two wonderful guests joining me today. Our first guest is a stand-up comedian from Northern California. Welcome to the show, Josh Waldron.
Hello, everybody. Ethan, thanks for having me.
Absolutely, Josh. Now, do you say NorCal? I've been living in SoCal for 8 years now, and I never say SoCal.
Right. Yeah, I haven't really heard anybody claim SoCal because they claim, like, generally their city. But when it comes to the NorCal, I actually adapt per person. If it's someone from up there, I'll say the Bay Area. But if it's someone not from California, I will say Northern California.
Got it. Okay. See, and I can already tell that you're a kind, compassionate man because you are adjusting your response based on the person, based on where they are coming from.
Oh, nice. Cool. I didn't know I was doing that. So cool. I'll throw it on the old res.
Yeah. Yeah. Instead of just being proud and saying some small city no one's heard of and then making fun of them for not knowing it.
Oh, yeah.
Which is also an option.
My small town that no one's heard of also has like two prisons and an Air Force base next to it. So it makes fun of itself.
Wow. Okay. So shout it out. Prison town. What is it?
Vacaville. CMF is right next to it. And then another huge one.
Vacaville. What a name, too.
Yeah. Cowtown.
Cowtown. How's it feel? I got to ask you before I introduce the next guest. Live shows are back. I mean, you must be through the roof. I'm through the roof.
Oh, it's been a joy. I actually just got back from Florida over the weekend. Everything stopped, I was doing comedy festivals and EDM festivals and trying to mix them, and I was just able to do that again. And people are just really, really stoked to be laughing again. Like, they're just excited to be out and about, like listening to people. Like, the amount of people that are like, thank you so much, has like definitely like doubled, tripled since the pandemic started.
Yeah, usually it's just people like spitting and throwing a beer
or
and
saying
you're not funny.
Yeah, saying that they could do it and their friends think they're funny.
Right, exactly. Our next guest, I'm very excited to have on. She is a marine scientist, a diver, an expedition leader and presenter. It's Charlie Young.
Hey, everybody.
How's it going, Charlie?
Very good. I'm currently cooped up in a cupboard, feeling very hot and sweaty.
That sounds, I know it's not, but it sounds like a very common British slang to say cooped up in a cupboard.
It's true. All of us are brought up this way. Have you seen Harry Potter?
It means exactly what it is, though. Unfortunately, you are literally inside of a cupboard recording this podcast.
I am, and this is where marine biologists spend most of their day, sadly.
I can just imagine you, like, to your left is some crackers, and to your right it's, like, some cookies.
Yeah, I've actually got a weird fish tank in front of me, and then a lot of diving equipment, a tent above my head, and then a duvet suspended, which could cave in at any point. So if anyone hears a loud crash, that's what it is.
Great, so you're going to be losing your mind during this podcast.
Yep.
Okay, so listen, before we dive into Happy Feet Penguin World, I have a hunch that you are very passionate about plastic pollution and sustainability. We've covered this from time to time on the podcast. So I always want to know if you could give us like some tips to live more sustainably for the ocean.
Yeah, so there's lots of different things that you can do. I mean, you know, the number one to go for is to reduce your plastic footprint. So, you know, we can all avoid single-use plastic. And the beauty of the world now is that there are so many different alternatives out there. And so we you know, have the ability to, you know, go out and buy our vegetables not packaged in plastic, because that's something that they tend to love to do over here. And I mean, you know, there's lots of different ways that our oceans are being impacted by different things. So, you know, even coming down to things like the sunscreen that you wear. So certain sunscreens can have a really bad impact on the oceans because of the chemicals in them, you know, can cause bleaching on coral reefs. So things like that, obviously reducing your carbon footprint. You know, I've chosen to go for a plant-based diet. That's another great way that you can reduce your carbon footprint and your impact on our planet. And, you know, the beauty of this is that, you know, the sustainability movement really is starting to gear up. And in the last couple of years, there's just been a huge wave of support for it. So those are just a couple of things. I mean, I could probably go on for ages, but as I say, oxygen is depleting rapidly in this room.
Okay, well, unfortunately, we're just getting started, Charlie. So, I want to ask specifically about the sunscreen. I had another a scientist tell me something similar. Is there, because I got to go buy some. I got to be honest with you. I am white as all hell, and I need to put on sunscreen almost every day. So what should I look out for? Is there a specific chemical that if I see it in the sunscreen, I go, no, and I slap it away from the shelf?
Yes, as aggressively as possible. So you're looking out for oxybenzo and octinoxate. Those are two of the worst chemicals that you need to keep an eye out for, and they're a mouthful as well. So there are a couple of, you know, reef safe alternatives out there. One that I use is Stream to Sea, and that's great. You know, I'm extremely white as well, so it's really important that I find a sunscreen that works, and that one does. So it saved me and also saving reefs at the same time. What more could you want?
Yeah, nothing. Stream to Sea, it's called. Shout out. Okay.
Shout out.
Stream to See, sponsor the show, send me a bunch of sunscreen. Okay, so also I need to ask, you've done wild swimming, which I didn't even know there was a term for this, but so have you had close calls? Have you had to punch a shark in the eye? Have you been wrapped up by a snake? Wild swimming to me sounds like
a snake.
Yeah, I don't know. Water snake, anaconda. They hang out by the rivers, from what I can tell from the documentary film Anaconda.
I mean, the UK, unfortunately, is not as exotic and exciting as other places around the world. So sadly, my wild swimming escapades have, you know, probably the scariest thing that I've had to encounter was a pike. And even they're not scary. Although you should definitely Google a picture of a pike, because they weirdly look like crocodiles and it freaks me out. But I suppose the other, you know, big thing you have to watch out for here in, you know, British rivers, for example, is when you're getting in, you know, sometimes there can be some aggressive cows in the field. So you've got to watch those cows. But you're probably most at risk from being attacked by a wet wipe than anything else in the UK. Because wet wipes are obviously getting... Sorry, I need to give you some context to that. That might sound very random. But we have a massive... Sorry.
Cows and wet wipes are the biggest threat to English national security.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Spooky.
Oh, so we have quite a big sewage issue here in the UK. So we...
Oh, no.
Unfortunately... This gets better and better. I'm reselling the UK.
Can't wait to visit.
This is good for the tourism board.
Exactly. So, unfortunately, we don't deal with our sewage very well.
I like that you're taking responsibility.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, this has really tickled me. Gosh. Wow. Anyway.
Losing oxygen.
Losing oxygen. You know what? It might genuinely be that. But anyway. So we have a sewage issue. A lot of sewage is discharged into rivers because of storm overflow. And so wet wipes as well. UK public think that putting wet wipes down the toilet is the right thing to do. But no, it's the three P's. Poo, pee, paper. That's all that should ever go down a toilet.
So I actually use the flushable wipes. And so you're telling me that those ones, you should stay away from those, even the ones that say they're safe to be flushed down.
Yes, stay away from them, I would say.
Man, that should be a whole sect of the judicial branch, is like cracking down on these products that say it's okay to flush when they're not, or, you know, it's okay to recycle when they're not. I had another scientist on telling me that like certain things that say recyclable are not.
Yep, it's so true.
It was driving me absolutely bonkers. I can't believe that that's a real thing. But anyways, hopefully segueing us into Happy Feet, I saw a video where you rescued an African penguin, Charlie. Can you tell us about that?
Wait a minute, an African penguin? I feel like this is a
Am
fantastic...
I've been wrong before.
It was a green sea turtle, but we can go with penguin if we want.
Okay. You can tell us about that, but I'm going to look this up. I want to say that I'm confident, which is also rare.
Well, I mean, unless I've lived, I've got some sort of doppelganger, or I'm living a life that I don't know. At night, apparently, I come alive and start doing things that I can't remember. But no, it was
I would love to uncover that.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. But back in 2019 now, I was on holiday in Oman and happened to travel to a place that's known to be a breeding site for green sea turtles, and basically went down onto the beach at night, had a wonderful evening watching, you know, the females come onto the shore and lay their eggs under a starry night sky. It was beautiful. And so we thought, oh, okay, I'll go back in the morning and see if I can find any hatchlings. And anyway, got down to the beach and wandering along, and then just see something just kind of flailing about, and I look closer and it's a fully grown female turtle. And as I get closer, I realize that she's stuck in between rocks. And so what ensued was about half an hour of grappling to try and get this green sea turtle out from between these rocks. And eventually we did it, and it was, yeah, probably one of the most emotional and incredible moments of my life. I never, ever, ever want to do it again. But, you know, to have said that I've lived through it and that we happily rescued this female turtle, you know, means the world. And now they've kind of become like my spirit animal. Now, for every Christmas, birthday, I can pretty much guarantee that I will get something that is a turtle or has a turtle on it. So it's almost become this spirit animal for me now.
Thank you for rescuing that sea turtle. They've become a good friend of mine.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. And I don't want to tell you you're wrong. I don't want to tell you you're going crazy in the cupboard. But you are tagged in this video. It's by Eco Sapien. It's on YouTube. It's an African penguin rescue. I will send it to you so that I'm not...
Oh my goodness, okay. This makes so much sense now. I thought you were going balmy, but now I realize that I presented a short mini film on African penguin. SANCOB it's called, the conservation organization in South Africa that rescues the penguins there. So you know what? It's a half truth. It's half wrong, half true.
Hey, listen, as long as it segues us into penguin talk, I did my job.
I'm glad we got the correct answer, but I did like thinking that she had an alter ego. At night, where she just was out superheroing random wildlife and then putting it on Instagram.
Yeah, it's like a positive version of Fight Club where when she's asleep, she does good philanthropic work.
And then they all become her like little friends and soldiers and help her on her adventures. It's a show that like you're really just living out.
Absolutely. We should do this.
I'm writing out the pilot outline right now. So, Happy Feet. I believe this is the first time I have seen Happy Feet. I don't know what happened in 2006. I watched it and forgot, which is also totally a possibility. But I did not remember it while I was watching. And it's weird because I often, if somebody asked me what my favorite animal is, I would say penguin. I've always had some sort of weird connection with penguins. I think they're adorable. But either way, had a great time watching this movie. And wanted your take on it. When did you first see it, and what do you think about it?
Yeah, so I definitely was one of those eager little kids that was, you know, ready as soon as it came out. I remember watching it. But I, you know what? I wasn't such a fan of the movie back then, and I'm not entirely sure why. I think maybe I just, as a kid, I was very nerdy and maybe just couldn't come to terms with the fact that, you know, these penguins were singing like they're in sort of some sort of musical, and I don't know, it didn't quite hit the heartstrings. Whereas when I watched it this time, I was like, what have I been doing with my life? It's amazing, and I'm completely in love, hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah, it's really fun. And well, Josh, what do you think?
Well, actually, it's funny that you say you've had this connection to penguins your whole life, because I, too, have had a connection to penguins my whole life. I've always gotten toys or little shirts, and I think I remember there was an early viral video of a penguin tripping another penguin, and I was like, okay, so they're funny. I'll pick these animals, or birds, I guess. I also remember seeing it, and like, I liked it because I liked the penguin part, and I liked Robin Williams. But then when the dad penguin, Memphis, an Elvis substitute, when he starts saying it's not penguin, I was like, man, I didn't know they're going to get like exclusionary in this like musical children's film.
Yeah, I agree with you. There was, I mean, really an assortment of interesting characters. The old wise man character was also very intense for me. He was like really like a scary looking penguin. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he was, were they all the same type of penguin? Maybe that's a good first question. Were they all emperor penguins? Is that right?
Yeah. So Mumble and all of his family members and the wider colony, they're all emperor penguins. And so they're the largest penguin species. And yeah, so they come together in those big colonies usually during the breeding season. And, you know, it's amazing, actually, because sometimes when you watch these animation movies, you can absolutely rip them to shreds in terms of the science. But I was actually pretty impressed, you know, apart from the fact that it's pretty far-fetched that they might all start singing, you know, rap and R&B, you know, slightly far-fetched. It was actually pretty good, and I was quite impressed actually with the robustness, I'm gonna say, of the science behind it, and I think that was represented pretty well. Of course, Mumble doesn't look anything like what a normal emperor penguin should look like, but I think that was just a creative decision made by the animation team to try and make him stand out, because the truth is, it is so hard to distinguish between a male and female emperor penguin. You know, the males weigh more, but they're actually pretty hard to tell the difference. And I think the only way that you can do it is by a very small spot on their beak. I think if it's a male, it's orange. If it's a female, it's pink. But really, it's very, very difficult. But the one sure way of knowing is when the women decide to abandon the men for the long winter ahead.
Right. Yeah, that was something else I was going to ask about. And we'll dive into the robustness, as you said, of the accuracy of this film right after the break.
Add a berry blast off for your day with the new Berry Pebbles. A berry twist on a classic breakfast. Perfect for giving those growing minds a blast of creativity. With the new Berry Way to Pebbles. Yabba dabba do you with Berry Pebbles. Head to postpebblescereal.com to learn more. Yabba dabba do and the Flintstones and all related characters and elements, copyright and trademark Hanna-Barbera.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
The break is over. Here we go. Back to the show about science.
We're back from that break, and it was a great one, right, guys?
It was amazing.
Yeah, I feel good and braked.
Good and braked. So we were talking about the females leaving for fishing season, I believe, right?
Yep.
Why does that happen? Why don't the males? Is it because it's tougher to withstand the icy long winters? Like, is it a more annoying job, and so the females are like, hey, screw this. Let's just go, you know, fishing, and they can just stand here with eggs for the entire winter.
Yeah, I mean, there is no denying that what the males have to go through is possibly one of the most, I guess, difficult things that I know of an animal doing in the animal kingdom. You know, this egg time, as they refer to it, is brutal. You know, the females disappear back off to sea. And the crazy thing about emperor penguins is that they actually do something pretty unusual, and they decide to breed and then lay their eggs during the winter months. So they do this incubation during winter, which is like the most harsh, you know, conditions that you could ever imagine. You know, Antarctica, the temperatures can get down to minus 20 degrees. And so, yes, you have to have a lot of physical strength. And so I believe that it's the males that do it because they are a bit heavier, a bit bigger. I mean, personally, I think they're just very progressive, and they're just taking this whole, you know, balance of, you know, the men and the women having kind of like equal caregiving responsibilities to a new level. And I love it. But, you know, as I said, it's brutal. And the most incredible thing is that the males spend practically 65 days, like 2 months, just huddling in these massive circles, as you see in the movie, and waddling around with an egg balancing on their feet, you know, hidden inside this little brood pouch. And they just go round and round, and they don't eat, and they just do it solidly for 2 months. And it is just mind-blowing how they're able to survive that. I mean, minus 20 degrees. And, you know, it's because that they're really well adapted in many different ways. So they've got incredibly dense feathers, which mean that they can trap heat close to their bodies. They've got, you know, very thick fat layers, which also helps to insulate them. And another incredible thing about this brood pouch is that it's highly sensitive to temperature changes. So the emperor dad can actually work out how cozy and how warm the egg is, and it can actually regulate the temperature and add a little extra coverage to make sure that it's keeping this egg cozy and at the right temperature. And as I said, they do this for 2 months, and then eventually the females will come back after spending the same amount of time out to sea. And then they're reunited, and then the caregiving kind of becomes more of an equal share. But it's just phenomenal what they do, and I have so much respect for them for it.
Wow. This brings up so many questions to my mind that I didn't even have notes on. So, like, number one, what you're telling me is that penguins, although we all think of them as cute and fluffy, are kind of the most badass animal. That's what I'm hearing.
Mm-hmm.
For you know, going through these super tough conditions. And the spot thing is crazy to me. You're telling me that there's the only way to tell them apart is that a spot on their beak where one is orange and one is pink?
Yeah, so there's usually in the animal kingdom, you've got something called sexual dimorphism, where you see quite a stark difference between the male and female. So a perfect example is if you look at a silverback male, so a gorilla, for example, the silverbacks are so much bigger, you know, beefier, more muscular, and it's very easy to tell them apart. Whereas, you know, the emperor penguins, they look very, very similar. And so, yes, from what I've read, it is just very subtle differences like that. I think the males as well are characteristically a bit bigger. They weigh more, but it is pretty, pretty hard to tell the difference.
And then the egg in the movie, our Elvis impersonator, Memphis, drops the egg, and the voiceover narration is telling us, like, the one thing you really don't want to do is drop this egg. and you know, supposedly that's what makes Mumble so unique. Is that accurate? Is it a big problem if somebody drops an egg for a minute or two during these 2 months?
I mean, I don't know the specific length of time that it would take for it to have a measurable impact on, you know, the developing chick inside, but, you know, it temperature is crucial. And if you think of just how extreme the temperatures are, you know, getting down to minus 20, there isn't going to be a long period of time, you know, within which that egg's been dropped and potentially it could damage the chicken side. So, you know, I think that the way that Mumble came out, they were trying to find a way to maybe, you know, give a reason for why he was different. But yeah, I think that any egg that isn't incubated and kept warm throughout this, you know, huddling exercise probably wouldn't have a great chance of surviving. So yeah, it's incredibly crucial and important that they're kept warm for the entire period.
This makes sense. I like that things are checking out in this very silly movie.
Mm-hmm.
And why do they, I mean, I assume it's part of the temperature regulation thing where they all huddle together during these months. Is that, yeah, that's why that happens?
Yeah, so that's essentially just a really clever way of them staying warm. So I read somewhere that it can get up to, you know, I think it's 70 degrees Fahrenheit in the center. So it can be pretty, it can be pretty warm. And there was a mathematician that did a study actually to look at, you know, why is this huddling exercise so good? And basically because what it is they're rotating, but they all take an equal kind of share of being on the outside and then being on the inside. And basically it's probably the best visual representation of what a democracy should be. And you know, they all benefit from it. And they did the stats, they did the analysis and worked out that, you know, it might appear at first like some people have got the short end of the straw, but actually, you know, they all rotate and they all take it in turns, and it's just an incredibly great way of conserving heat, staying warm, and also protecting themselves from, you know, the incredibly harsh weather, because, you know, winds in Antarctica can be just so cold and so intense. And so it's just a really clever natural invention for them staying warm and keeping their eggs warm.
Wow. I mean, it's unbelievable. They're geniuses. These penguins are strong geniuses. I love that. And we got to touch on the tap dancing and the singing.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if they have certain calls. Obviously, birds have all different types of like beautiful songs and calls. I know you mentioned that it's a bit far-fetched that they're singing R&B, but do they have different songs? Do different penguins sing at each other or I don't know, whistle or squawk?
Yes. So vocalizations are an incredibly important part, you know, of penguins' behavior and ecology. And they do sing, but just not as you see it in the movies. And so they use it to locate their mates, to find their young, and they have individual calls so they can distinguish themselves from the crowd. Because, you know, colonies can be up to thousands of individuals, like, you know, a lot of penguins in one place. And so, yeah, they do use their calls. And the way that it's very cute. I love the idea of a heart song, that we all have our own song, and that's unique to us. And I suppose, you know, that is true in the movie, that, you know, or in real life, that penguins have their own calls. And they, you know, the way that they find each other is by, you know, they spend the summer out to sea, gorging, trying to get as fat as possible, ready for breeding season. Then they all, you know, make this march back to the breeding area, and then they all convene in these big groups. And, you know, the males, what they'll do is they'll go around and they'll sort of, they look quite fluffed up and sort of strutting their stuff, a bit like you see in the movie, and they'll put their bill down onto their chest and then flick their head up and go whoa and kind of crawl at the sky. And essentially they're, you know, this is their display, this is their courtship. They're like, hey ladies, and essentially something about males with deeper voices apparently attractive to the females. And then once a male and female have kind of, you know, paired up and they like each other's song, they don't dance as such, but they do have specific courtship behavior that makes their bond stronger. And so whilst they don't have a heart song, they actually do, and you might have seen pictures of this, they do actually, if you take a photo of a male and female together at a certain angle, what they do is they bow their heads together, so it does actually create a heart shape. And then they will raise their beaks up to the sky and then they stare intently at each other, which I think is a bit weird and a bit intense, for a couple of minutes. And then they're like, that's it, sealed deal, boom, that's us for this season. But I hate to break it to everybody, they sadly are not as monogamous as the movie makes out.
Ah.
Okay, well, on the other side of this break, we're going to find out about penguins having affairs, cheating on each other, a lot of penguin drama to come right after this.
Penguin drama? I'm definitely coming back.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh, how so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit, or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at ikea-usa.com/circular. Visit ikea-usa.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The break is over. Here we go, back to the show about science.
Okay, we're back. If you're here, you're here to listen to Charlie tell us about the scoundrel, cheating, bastard penguins that we all have come to know and love, and now she's going to ruin it for us. Charlie?
Yeah, so sadly, I hate to break it to everybody, whilst they're serially monogamous for a season, they don't always mate with the same individual the following year. Dun, dun, dun!
This is shocking news. I've always thought that penguins were like the only species or only animal that, like, once they find their mate, that's it. It's like soulmates for life. I don't know why that myth has been propagated.
Well, I guess I've got some good news. So I always say their name wrong, and I'm just going to say it the way I like to say it, Adélie penguins, but I think it's Adèle. Adèle, oh gosh, I prefer
Adèle.
That's
confusing because of the artist. So let's leave Adèle for Adèle, and these are Adélie
penguin.
See, that's what the movie was missing, is an Adèle song.
Oh my god, it was. Right. It really was. Well,
hopefully Happy Feet 2 features it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm here to save the day a little bit with the monogamy.
Oh, great.
They actually do mate for life as long as the individuals come back to the same breeding spot year on year. So there is still some hope for true love in the penguin world.
I had my heart broken early on by the penguin cheating thing, because there's a Planet Earth documentary where a penguin like comes home to find his wife penguin with another one. And then they kind of like bully him and send him back just on his way.
He obviously deserved it.
Yeah. Well, the saddest thing is that after he basically gets like manhandled by the bigger penguin, he tries to walk it off, but he trips over a stick in front of everybody. It's honestly the saddest. Like, I tried to do it as a bit, but it was just a sad penguin story, so no one really laughed.
Wait. Tripped over his stick. What? Yeah. What stick are we referring to? A metaphorical stick?
No.
You know, sticks have other connotations in the UK, so I thought you were referring to his appendage. But
wow, it sounds like I was about to learn a lot more about penguins than I knew.
So I guess the stipulation is whether or not they come to the same spot. Is that what you're saying? Like, if they show up in the same spot season after season, they'll be together forever. But if they accidentally wash back onto the icy shore somewhere else, then the female's going to be like, hey, snooze, you lose.
Exactly. The mating need is strong and breeding must continue.
Poor guys.
Wow. I feel like that's a parallel also for here. It's like long distance doesn't really work. You know, if you're not around for a certain amount of time, the mating need is strong.
I was going to say, maybe that's why I bonded with penguins early on, because that's how I met my girlfriend, as I walked outside and just screamed into the air until she noticed me.
Can you, is there any chance that you can replicate that for us, Josh?
Yeah, let me back up just because I know I was a little too loud earlier. All right, 1 second. Oh! All right, did you guys hear that? That was it. She doesn't like me to do it for other people, so I try not to, but...
Oh, I could totally see where she's coming from, though. That was hot.
Where'd you live?
Yeah, exactly. In the valley. It's a little cold here, so penguins could survive.
Okay, so we discussed them singing. We got to talk about the tap dancing. Mm-hmm. Mumble is an expert tap dancer, naturally. Mm-hmm. Do penguins exhibit this type of behavior at all?
I don't think that there's necessarily any evidence to say that they specifically tap dance, but I'm a firm believer that if they wanted to, they could. So,
yes.
You know, absolutely. I'm an advocate for it. I definitely think if they wanted to, they could. Emperor penguins, though, I don't know, you know, they're a little bit more reserved about their dancing. So, you know, about as extravagant as it gets is them sort of like flailing their head around upwards and downwards. Whereas it's the Adelie penguins that like to get the dance moves out a little bit more. Apparently they flap their head around and their flippers during courtship. So they're a little bit more animated. But again, you know, sadly, no actual tap dancing. I mean, the rock hoppers, which is another species of penguin that we see in the movie. So that's Lovelace with all of his jazzy frills and sassy attitude. They hop about. So, I mean, that's probably as close to it probably gets to actually tap dancing is the rock hoppers hopping.
Cool. Okay. Perfect name for them.
Mm-hmm.
And can you tell me where penguins live? Because it's not just in Antarctica, right? They're kind of located in a bunch of different places.
Yes. So they're located in lots of different places. However, you know, all in the Southern Hemisphere, apart from you've got some penguins that are actually in the Galapagos of all places. So you can find them in the Galapagos, you can find them in South Africa, you can even find them in Australia. So actually I lived in Sydney for a little while and there was some penguins there. But you've got five species that live on the Antarctic continent. And so that's kind of the stronghold for penguins.
Okay, good to know. I'll be visiting shortly.
Mm-hmm.
Although I hate the cold.
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
Okay, I wanted to ask about one part in particular to the movie where they're fishing and a bird comes in, scoops in, and steals a fish from the penguin's mouth. Is this something that would actually happen?
I mean, you know, in those bait balls, so it was a skewer that came in and took that fish off of Mumble. And I mean, they're the pirates of the sea. They've got attitude. They pretty much just, you know, they throw their weight around. So I'm saying that this is not that far-fetched. I'm pretty sure that there has probably been occasions where skewers have sort of like dived into the water and maybe, you know, stolen a fish. I mean, in these bait balls, there can be quite a lot of confusion with diving birds and then obviously, you know, penguins and other animals under the water. And so I'm sure that there are frequent collisions and potentially a lot of scrambling for food. But skewers are actually... They're more of an issue, actually, for predating. Well, they eat fish, they eat krill, but they also like to predate on penguins. So chicks are actually... So we even see it in the movie where Mumble gets cornered and thankfully falls down that little crack in the ice. Skewers will go for small chicks. And this is quite a big problem for Adelie penguins. You know, the skewers will take their eggs. They will predate on small chicks. And so, yeah, it is an actual problem. But you know what? There's a brilliant video out there. You should go and Google it, where a skewer's trying it on with some emperor penguins that are a little bit older. So they've got their fluffy brown sort of fluff that's come through. And they are going for it. They are really sort of like, you know, standing up to the skewer. And it was really impressive to see because, I mean, emperor penguins, they get pretty big and they outgrow skewers pretty quickly.
Wow, cool. Okay, I'll be looking up that video for sure. Mm-hmm. That sounds great. And then Mumble gets abducted, taken to the zoo or an aquarium. And, you know, so I have to ask, if I see some penguins in a zoo or an aquarium, are they unhappy? Is this a terrible place for them to be stored?
So, you know, there are some penguins that, you know, I mean, you see the South African penguins quite often in captivity. They are a lot easier to kind of look after. And I think, you know, the main issue, first of all, with just trying to keep species such as emperor and Adélie penguins, is that, you know, they are true Antarctic species. They live in conditions, you know, they need to have conditions kept at between like -1 and -7 degrees, because that's the conditions that they're used to. And so that takes a heck of a lot of energy to try and create an environment that actually emulates their natural environment, you know, but in a zoo setting. So that makes them quite notorious, difficult to look after. But also, you know, captivity is a really, really interesting topic because it has its uses. I arguably wouldn't be as into wildlife and have necessarily pursued the career that I have if I hadn't have been to the zoo as a kid and had the most amazing experience of my life seeing animals that I've actually not even ever seen in the wild. And so from an educational point of view, it really does inspire people, whether people actually then go on to contribute to helping to conserve these animals is another question, but it undoubtedly sparks that interest. But, you know, when you look at the kind of behavior and ecology of, say, the emperor penguin, you know, they breed on ice and then they go out to sea and they can travel, you know, thousands of kilometers and spend months at sea traveling such long distances. And can a zoo ever really provide that kind of life? And so they really do miss out on a lot. And I think that, you know, as we move forward, we need to find, maybe it's that certain species we just don't ever keep because of their, you know, the way that they live. Like elephants, for example, they travel such long distances, and orcas as well. I mean, keeping them in a pool the size of a thimble is just, you know, it's heartbreaking. And so I personally advocate for not having these animals in captivity. I would prefer to take people out there to see it. I know that has its own issue, and definitely tourism is having an impact in Antarctica. But it's a double-edged sword. And I know that from reading up a little bit more about the premise of the movie, that the director had actually been inspired about the zoo scene from actually seeing and visiting a zoo in Australia and seeing an emperor penguin stood facing the wall like that. So depression with captive animals is an issue, and there has to be a lot of enrichment and a lot of enrichment to ensure that they're having a good quality of life, and I'm just not sure that captivity can ever truly provide that.
Well, on that glittery, lovely note, I could talk about penguins all day long. We really need to schedule a Happy Feet 2 discussion. I love these animals and I'm loving them more and more by the minute, but in order to keep you from not passing out due to lack of oxygen, we gotta wrap it up. Josh, where can people see you? Where can people keep tabs on you? What's going on?
First of all, thank you for having me on the pod. And Charlie, very informative. You tried to claim you weren't an expert, but that I felt very educated by everything you said.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, for a non-penguin expert, that was incredibly impressive.
All the info, it was very impressive. So I Instagram Josh Waldron sucks, and then this weekend, after next weekend, I'm actually recording my own like first little special with Don't Tell Ethan. Oh. I know you know Kyle. So yes. I host and book the San Diego ones, and so next Saturday I'm gonna film like this 30-minute thing to eventually release on YouTube and Spotify.
Nice. Okay. Congrats, man. Can't wait to see that. Wish I was invited. Jesus, San Diego. Sounds great.
Well, we just met. The invite usually comes after the show, right?
Yeah, that's a good point.
One last thing. I'm so sorry. If you just want to Google home wrecking penguin, that's the video that I was talking about. Like
great.
It's literally titled home wrecking penguin. It gets a little brutal. I'm being honest, but it is an interesting video.
I'm watching that straight after this.
Yeah, same. I have it pulled up. Home wrecking penguin. Perfect. Charlie, I know you have a YouTube channel people should check out. But yeah, anything else you want to tell people about, please?
Yeah, so you can find me all over social media like a rash. So as you said, I've got a YouTube channel and also heavily active on Instagram. So my handle is ocean_magpie. And then, yeah, if you just search for Charlie Young, Marine Scientist on YouTube, you'll find me there.
Thank you so much to you both for watching the movie and for coming on the show. And yeah, I hope we speak soon. I hope you have a wonderful day.
You too.
You too. Thank you, Charlie. Get some air.
Will do.
Bye.
Bye.
Bad Science is a Seeker podcast produced by Emily Feld and me, Ethan Edinburgh.
The executive producer is Brett Kushner, and our social media is managed by Blue Whale Media. And please leave us an iTunes review. Give us 5 stars. I sound like an Uber driver, but it does help. It makes sure people know about the podcast, which we really appreciate. Thanks for listening. Bye.